This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It is Dukes and Bell. A couple of technical difficulties over at Twin Peaks, so we are back in the studio. So if you're going to come by and see us, save the date. We'll be back. Right now, Mike, let's say good afternoon to our man, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl NFL champion. And B-Mac, of course, did that with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, he's been the talk of this week. And B, you did an excellent job. Let's give you some props right now. Visiting with our quarterback and Michael Penix, let's talk about this because there's so much Mike and I were curious about in this interview process where you had a chance to just kind of chop it up with him. And Mike said it, the best part was that you guys were at Waffle House. Let's start first. What are your impressions just being around him? Forget about the questions. We'll get into some of that. Just being around the dude, what did you think?
Man, Mike is a great guy, man. A great guy. If you don't have a dog in the race in terms of what team you root for or cheer for as individual players, if you're in his presence, you root for him. You know what I mean? The humility that stands in front of him is felt. It's felt. He's a good dude. And I love being around good dudes. The same can be said for you guys. You just want to be around good, genuine, authentic people, nice people, man. And he is the definition of that. You know what I mean? With him being in this position, being a former top 10 pick, of course, QB1 for a organization here in Atlanta, he doesn't carry himself as that. He acts like he's a normal individual, individual that's not one of the best players and best quarterbacks in his class. He doesn't act like a player who is a starter. He's just a good dude, man, and I really appreciate him spending time with me and just how authentic he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's legitimate. I mean, we've talked about other guys in the league, and not to name names, Russell Wilson. Sometimes you try to take that mantle of leadership, Bryant, but I mean, he was a captain at Washington because he's got that sort of quiet confidence, but he just gets the job done. By the way, we love when you were breaking down what we thought was the play that shows he belongs in the NFL, and that was the touchdown throw to Pitts in the red zone against the Commanders. Talk about that because that was some great audio.
And you know, the same thing how you guys felt. I feel like that was the best play that I watched personally from Penix during that four-game stretch when he was starting. Because, you know, that was a highly anticipated game with him being the starter. His relationship with the quarterback for Washington and Jaden Daniels and the back-and-forth affair. And that was a crucial clutch-type moment, you know, for Michael. He actually turned into Jalen Brunson in that play and made it. And just his ability, and I wanted to ask him about the above the game, above the shoulder part, being able to dissect and know exactly where he's going through football before the play is actually in movement. And he broke it down nicely. And just his ability, as I stated during that interview, just manipulating the backer, making the backer move, that is a veteran strategy for a veteran quarterback, manipulating the backer with your eyes, knowing exactly where you're going to go with the football, and of course, trusting your pass catcher to have a rhythm in place for him to be exactly where he needs to be, because that was a time and throw. He didn't throw to Kyle Pitts. He threw to an area that he knew Kyle Pitts was going. and that was great. And like you said, that was one of the best throws. I mean, he made some big time throws in that game against Carolina in the dome, but that throw for me, because of the situation, was unbelievable.
B, I saw you tried to put him on the spot. We played that soundbite yesterday where you were like, so would we have been a playoff team if you started? Look, I thought he gave the politically correct answer, but as Mike and I said, you know, wouldn't it have been something if he was like, yeah, they should have put me in earlier? But that's not his nature, right? That's not who he is. But I thought it was a great question to kind of pose to him, because we've all wondered, all right, do you think you would have made a difference? And by the way, we're not talking about the entire season. We're talking about once Cousins started to suck.
Yeah, and you know, before I asked that question, guys, I already knew the answer I was going to get from Mike, because I know who he is, right? So that was predictable. I knew exactly what he was going to say, which he's a respectful, humble individual. But I wanted to ask that question because I hear people talking in the streets. You know, I talk to you guys all the time. I hear what you guys are saying. And there are a lot of fans that felt like, man, if we would have made that move maybe 2 weeks prior, who knows what the team would have looked like at the end in terms of playoff aspirations. So I wanted to ask a question that fans have talked about in barbershops, in salons, in restaurants, at bars. Man, if they would have did X, Y, and Z. Because to your point, Kirk Cousins wasn't playing at his best, and now we found out after the fact he wasn't even healthy. Think about that.
Right.
Wasn't healthy. So for a guy like Michael Penix, when he became the starter, all the marbles at that time were in the middle of the table because of the bad stretch the team was currently in the midst of. So he walked into a very, very pressure situation where the kitchen was already hot. And they didn't have no stove fans available to kind of circulate some air in there. And he had to stand up in that kitchen and cook. And he tried to. But because of the timing of the season where they were, you had no room for error and the error surfaced. So I felt like, me personally, the same thing could be said for you guys. If they would have made that move a little earlier, who knows how much more acclimated Penix would have been to the offense, which would have resonated points, of course, which would resonate wins.
It's Brian McFadden, guys. BMAC, you can check it. We all put the link up at Put 'Em Up. See Duke to Mike Bell ATL to catch his conversation with Michael Penix Jr. And now that everything's done, the dust is settled. I know we've asked you a million times about Kirk Cousins. Did you, off the record? I mean. Great question, Michael. Off the record. I mean, he's prepared to handle all the controversy if Kirk Cousins is still here, right, in August?
No question, man. I think the unique thing about Penix, even though he's a rookie, he's highly mature. The maturation process that he's been dealing with throughout his collegiate career has been well documented. You know, being around college ball for such a long time, having the microphone in his face for such a long time, I think he's ready to handle that. But honestly, guys, I don't think there will be a lot in terms of Kirk Cousins' questions with Penix. Because I think it's safe to say everyone who's involved in the Falcon organization, everyone who is involved in the NFL world, the landscape, they already know who the main man is. There's no quarterback competition. The only thing that I think, me personally, would allow Kirk Cousins to be more in the forefront if injury was to happen to Michael Penix. But when you draft a guy top 10, and when you make him the starter in the end of his rookie year, you're basically telling all of us, we're not turning him away. He's our guy. And I think Penix understands that, but he also welcomes the competitive atmosphere. But he understands this is his job to lose. As long as he stays healthy and stay the course, he'll be fine.
BMAC, what did you learn in this interview that you didn't think you knew about this young man?
Well, you know, Michael Penix is a Florida guy just like I am. I did not know Michael Penix, once upon a time, when he was a young lad in Tampa, had 16 goals in his mouth.
What? Really?
Yes. He said he had 8 to the top, 8 to the bottom. Of course, they were pullouts, but they were real goal, 100% goal, 14K. And he showed me a picture in his phone when he was at Indiana at that time with the wigs, the dreadlocks in his head, and a mouthful of gold teeth. And I said, Penix, if I didn't know any, but I thought you were playing safety or backer, because you did not look like a quarterback. But that's the thing I love about Penix, man. He's the ultimate professional, but he also has a little edginess to him. You know what I mean? I love quarterbacks that got a little fire in the belly. But you don't hear the fire. You see it. You feel it. And that's the unique thing about his ability to be able to adjust and show different personalities when need be. And that also gravitates the locker room towards him, because now you know he's one of the guys.
Right. Brian McFadden is
also, too, the last thing, he's super cheap.
He's frugal.
Thrifty.
Yeah. Michael Penix ain't a Saks Fifth Avenue guy. He more J.C. Penney.
Oh, okay.
Well, remember, he was getting a hot dog at Walmart or Costco when he found out he was getting a start, which is kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's frugal, man. Yeah. He going to make sure he save a buck, which I appreciate. But, you know, no knock on J.C. Penney, by the way, for all our J.C. Penney listeners out there. But, you know, Saks Fifth and J.C. are a little two different areas. You know, Mike, he can go to Saks. You know he got the bread to do so. But he just chooses to go to J.C. Penney. Or back in the day, I know my aunt used to like shopping at Cato while our older listeners on there. You remember the store Cato?
Yes.
Yeah. Shouts out to Cato, by the way. I know they closed down years ago.
Yeah, B-Max, he's too young for Zares down in Florida, where I got my first bike. All right, man. B-Max with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. The way the team is configured, obviously the focus on the defense, they did add a guy that was a record breaker as far as wide receivers, undrafted free agent, Nick Nash, kind of cool. So maybe we get a slot guy. But you think Pitts evolves this year in this offense with Penix?
He has to. And the thing that I anticipate seeing from Kyle Pitts, number one, he has to have a clean slate of health, right? That's been an issue with him. The inability to stay on the football field, being healthy. Number two, we're already hearing, you know, the coaches offensively saying they are expecting big things from Kyle Pitts. So with that being told to all of us, they're going to try to feature him in the passing game. They're going to give him one more last opportunity to show his worth here in Atlanta. And if you're Kyle Pitts, you know you got to deliver. You were a former top 10 pick at the tight end position. And when he was drafted at that position, he came into the league with more hype, more anticipation than what we saw from Brock Bowers. Think about it. When you look at what Kyle Pitts did at Florida, now he didn't have the collegiate career at Florida like Brock did at Georgia, but what he did during the pre-draft process, running that fast 40, the athleticism, I mean, he came into the league like the next great one, and clearly he hasn't delivered to that level yet. So I'm hoping Kyle can stay healthy first and foremost, but it's time to live up to the potential, guys, because he's one of the more athletic presence at the tight end position that we have in the National Football League. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen that maturate like we thought it would be. And especially if he can do what he needs to do, just think about how much better Michael Penix can be if you got reliable tight end production to rely on.
All right, don't think you're going to get out of here and not get asked this question. What you think, what's going on? You already know. What you think going on with these Steelers, man? What's going on with the Steelers?
Man, they broke my heart, man. Man, listen, man, they broke my heart, man. George was my guy. Now, I understand George had some other things going on off the field that we heard about. But for me, the most confusing part, guys, is the timing of that move. And we're hearing that they were willing to trade. They wanted to trade George Pickens. So if that's the case, why don't you trade him before the draft so whatever pick you can get in return could actually help the team this year? But instead, you do it, and now the pick you won't even see any benefits from the pick in 2025. So that was the most confusing thing for me. But you know, clearly Mike Tomlin, they have a plan in place, and we got to see how it actually works out.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's a long history of troubled wide receivers. And as I said on Twitter, what could possibly go wrong with an immature wide receiver down in Dallas? You know, seeing what CeeDee Lamb is making. I'm not sure if he's going to play with Metcalf, but yeah, I just don't know. I mean, how Arthur Smith pivots, what kind of guys they're going to bring into camp to try to, you know, beef up that wide receiver room. It's a little weird. But now, hey, you know what? Maybe, Brian, the light goes on for Pickens and realizes these guys, they quit on me because they figure I got to get my head on straight. And finally he does.
Exactly. And I said that maybe this actually could become a good thing for George Pickens because you need to mature. You know, when he got drafted, there were some issues concerning his behavior while he was at UGA, right? He got drafted in the second round, even though he was a first-round talent because of the injury and also the behavior concerns. And he went to Pittsburgh, and some of those things followed him where they did tolerate the extra, but they got tired of seeing the extra week in and week out, so they made him expendable. So now George, he's fortunate. Number one, he got drafted to another storied organization where he's going to be in the spotlight. That's the first thing. Number two, he got drafted actually in a better quarterback situation than his current spot, his past spot in Pittsburgh. So if you're George Pickens, You couldn't ask for another a better second opportunity than what he currently is about to embark in. And he's playing alongside another All-Pro, an All-Pro in C.D. Lamb. So this has to open his eyes. And if it does, this can actually change the trajectory of the Dallas Cowboys, especially offensively.
Great stuff, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion. Hey, great work, B, seriously, with Michael Penix Jr. If you've not seen it, we reposted it. It's out there. Find us on social media and follow my man, Bryant McFadden. We will talk to you next week, bro.
All right, thank you for having me.
Good stuff. All right, Mike, we got to talk about the Braves last night. They rallied a win. Come back in the 11th inning. My man, Drake Baldwin, comes up big. They're on the road tonight. Also, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk about all that dog news that we've been discussing, guys. And also coming up, we'll go around the National Football League. Rookie camp open up today at Flowery Branch. We'll dive into all of that.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
More. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks to Bryant McFadden for stopping by. Really cool and compelling footage with the interview with our man, Michael Penix Jr. Go check it out, man. It's really good stuff. It came out earlier this week. We've been talking about it, and B-Mac running down the whole 911 force there in our interview. Coming up, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is on the way. Mike, Braves last night, before we get into some football stuff, because the Falcons rookie camp started today, first day on the field, and then a lot of this other stuff's going to be classroom stuff, guys. So, but we'll get into it. Last night, though, you know, these are the games, by the way, that they haven't been winning, right? I mean, we talked about when we were losing and we were not scoring runs. And last night, Drake Baldwin comes up big in the 11th. There were a lot of elements to this game last night. By the way, Braves on the road at the Pirates starting tonight. But, man, like, that was a cool win in so many ways. But Baldwin with an RBI single in the 11th drives in Ozzy. Look, we can talk about Ozzy. I know you always say he's your favorite guy. You've been saying it. He is struggling like nobody's business.
Yeah, I mean, righty, lefty, don't matter. It's just – yeah, it's just not there, and it's been really exasperating. And it's funny because, you know, Matt Olson, if you can't do it with the glove, if you can't do it with the stick, do it with the glove.
Yep.
Because Matt Olson, I mean, it seems like I got a bunch of buddies that are Braves fans. We're all in kind of a group text, and it's like, are you kidding me? Big Ray's on there, and the dude, and Don, and we're like, what is going on with Olson, man? He did get an RBI last night, which was great. But I thought in extras, the play when the runner on second, you know, the automatic Manfred runner. But this reminded me of like the old Keith Hernandez stuff where you just totally commit that he's going to bunt. He charges in from first and literally just takes it right off the bat, throws over to third, you get the force out. I love that. I mean, I get the tag out. I love that kind of fielding from Matt Olson. So that was nice. If you can't do it with the stick, do it with the glove. But Ozzy, 1-for-5 to your point. It's funny, real quick, let me get your take on this, because I had one Braves fan. We went round and round for like, I mean, I lost track of how many text messages. It was like the last word, who's going to win? But I was like, I didn't like Snicker pulling Schwellenbach after the sixth. The pitch count was 93, and I'm thinking, okay, you got 6, 7, 8 coming up. Now, Montero had been good, no debates. Montero's last couple of outings have been strong until last night, his ERA was below 4. But I just want to see, this is the stuff that Smoltz always talks about. You've got to figure it out. Let him learn. All right, if he gives up a base knock on the first hit, okay, then you can bring Montero in. But I just, and I'll stand by that. The guy's like, well, you guys on radio, you always get the last word, hindsight. I go, look, if we get something wrong, I can't speak for the other guys in Atlanta radio. There are some guys down the dial that like are never wrong. They're infallible. If I get something wrong, I'll say, hey, I was wrong. Snicker was right. But I didn't like Snicker not sticking with Schwellenbach for the top of the seventh. It resulted in Montero giving up the tying run.
I agree. And again, that's two nights. The other night, I just didn't like the idea of not going with the analytics. And sometimes you go with your gut, and nine times out of ten, he's been right. But, you know, when it's on paper, Mike, and you say, man, this guy's hitting, you know, 400 points more or you know, 30 points better than this other guy, I'm going to go that way. But, yeah, I'm with you on this. And again, that's feel, right? You just go, well, time to get him out of there. Well, let him go. And then if it gets bad, if he gets out of hand, okay, pull him. But that's a questionable situation. The good news is the Braves found a way to get it done. Money Harris, and again, we talk about Eddie Rosario. He drives in Eddie with the single to left field. And by the way, Money is heating up, man. 3 for 5, 2 RBI last night. So things are moving in the right direction for our Braves. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. Today, Falcon Rookie Camp started, and it's only just a few days. Veterans will be in there at the end of the month, and they'll have that going on. Then all of a sudden, Mike, it'll be mandatory mini camp before you know it, and then we'll be talking about training camp. And so these things are going to happen pretty fast. But all the rookies, including all the undrafted free agents, were there today. I made my way up there and got a chance to see Jalen and those guys up close and personal. They did have some work on the field. But I want you to hear what Raheem Moore said when he was asked about Jalen Walker and just the kind of player he thinks he's going to be.
That's the second you talk to him. When he's standing next to you, not working out, having a normal conversation across the table in Terry's office or mine, every time you talk to him, you feel like that. You're talking about a guy that's going to be, you know, I hate to even talk about him this way, but like it's hard not to, when you talk to guys like that, and Xavier Watts, a little bit the same cloth, but you see future captains and these guys make up, and it's like, you know, the team will decide that and he'll decide that, but you see the makeup, like just like no different than you see those guys when you walk in the room, you see it all over.
So that's Raw today, mm-hmm. Mike, talking about he sees him as a future captain. That's earned, by the way. That's not something like he said. I'm not anointing him. But when you draft guys this high and you draft them and they are difference makers, they're culture changers. They come in and they change your culture and all of a sudden they become the leaders of your locker room. Not saying that's going to happen immediately for him, but that's what Ross said about Jalen today when he was asked about it.
Yeah, man, and we talked to you guys heard the interview. We replayed it for you. It's just there's guys, and you meet them. Jalen Walker's that type of guy. There's just these dudes. And look, and you try to – I think most teams in the NFL try to get as many of those guys as you can. Sometimes in the past, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you go the opposite way. You get the meatheads who fall in the draft, and you get what you pay for with a Vontaze Burfict, you know, or take your pick. Any guy that was a bit of a knucklehead and a discipline issue at schools he played at. You know, I mean, this is where you – I mean, I'm not talking about a Falcon filter, but if you get enough of these guys and they have the physical skills to match everything else they bring, then you're just set.
You are, and that's the key. So from one guy to the other, 4th and 1, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We'll tell you about some contracts and stuff that are going on, and one Georgia running back probably not returning to his old team. Last night, Chris Thomas, our old producer who's now doing nights, had on Jeff Sintel, and he just started talking about Jalen Walker. So you hear Ross say, look, you talk to him, we think he's going to be this. And Jeff Sintel covered him, obviously, at Georgia. Here's what he said last night on the night show.
Jalen, I think he's a face of the franchise type guy. Here's why I say this, because when I started covering him, I believe it was his junior year of high school, just kind of sick athletic things he would do. COVID, if we remember those times, it forced some high schools to have some weird things. One of the things Jalen had to do is he had to practice basketball and then finish practicing basketball and then go play practice for football because North Carolina had its football in the spring. So he would go from one sport to the other, right across the school fence and parking lot, so to speak. And his team won a state championship in football. They didn't win a state championship in basketball. But those are the type of athletic things he can do. He is one of those guys, I mean, it still blows my mind that he's the first and only recruit I've ever covered who was a five-star that actually worked at Chick-fil-A while he was in high school. That takes a certain charismatic personality to do that.
And that's the thing we're just talking about, that it factor. You know, it's funny because, you know, I think most of us worked at some point in our lives in fast food or retail, you know, or had a job that was a real drag, but you did it. And it was a lesson learned and there's some value. I mean, you learned the value of a dollar.
Yeah, Carl. Yeah, but for sure.
But I mean, you humble yourself. That's what we're talking about. I mean, the well-rounded dude. That's why whenever I see somebody, if you're at a restaurant, for instance, and somebody gets on a waiter, not to name steak, but, you know, you're like, have you ever waited at a table? Have you ever had to deal with 3-6 tops at once? I have. You know, it gives you a different perspective on things.
No doubt. He's a worker, man, and that's the kind of guy you want. You don't want somebody that's been giving it in their entire life. And when you talk about the NFL, those guys that come in like that are hungry, and then, you know, that never dies.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're just talking about rookie camp starting. We'll hear from Ra a little bit more, what he had to say about what he hopes to get accomplished over the next few days. And again, a lot of this stuff's going to be classroom, but they were on the field today. Browns general manager Andrew Berry, Mike, is not optimistic about Nick Chubb returning to the team.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people said he's just going to be back. He'll recover from this injury. They drafted a couple of running backs, the Browns did. I know that Shedeur Sanders has driven the news, but they also drafted a couple of backs. So where's Nick Chubb going to land, man?
I mean, I've already saw a video of Nick already lifting like incredible amount of weight on those knees. I mean, look, the guy's a freakish athlete, but at some point you begin to wonder if just there's too much. It's just the cumulative effects of all the surgeries and all the wear and tear that he's taken. He says that I wouldn't rule anything out, but as Carl said, it's probably increasingly unlikely. Well, that sounds like the die is cast. And now you kind of hope that, you know, I mean, fingers crossed, because we just talk about guys you want to pull for and you root for who's got that, you know, that X factor. Nick Chubb's one of those dudes.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Meanwhile, we were wondering who's going to broadcast the Week 1 Brazil game.
Brazil. Aye, papi. Aye.
YouTube?
Okay.
You cool with this? Not YouTube TV.
All right, how much is this going to cost me?
Well, no. This is apparently just YouTube, not YouTube TV.
Okay.
See, there's two different things. YouTube right. is where we log on to and you see the crazy videos. YouTube TV is like your streaming service. Okay?
Right.
But they're saying, Mike, YouTube is a heavy favorite to stream Week 1,
okay,
which is the Brazil game.
But not YouTube TV.
That's what it's saying.
All right. Either way, I mean, if it's YouTube TV, I'm sure they're going to get a nickel out of us on this one.
Absolutely.
But,
yes.
You know, I'm used to it at this stage. But, okay. I mean, yes, we loved it when the old TV was kind of cool. There's a game on Fox. There's a game on CBS.
Because
there's a game on NBC, and that was it.
To your point, though, this makes no sense because you're going, all right, well, how are you going to recoup all this money you're about to spend to get the game? If you're just telling me it's YouTube, there has to be some YouTube TV tie-in. That would be my guess. But either way, that's where it looks like Week 1, that Brazil game. Last year, who was it? Was it Peacock? Who was it last year?
It was Peacock. It was Mike Tirico. It was the Packers. That's right. Packers and Eagles down there in Brazil.
All right, man. Meanwhile, Abdul Carter, guys, going to wear number 51, Mike. And Jackson Dart's going to wear number 6.
Yeah, I was telling Carl, I go 55. I mean, that's Gary Reasons. That's a good number. I mean, good linebacker, but you could have took the double nickel. 56 was LT. You know, 58, Pepper Roger. I mean, there's Carl Banks. There's other famous ones. But 51, for the guys who know your Bears, that's Dick Butkus.
Yes, sir.
So I guess no tie-in with the Giants. So, okay. Pretty cool. Good for him. The 11 thing was kind of silly. I mean, that is Phil Simms.
No, I agree. Monsters of the Midway. Right. Yeah, and also, remember, the NFL schedule reveal next week. It is the 14th, guys, so we're going to be all over that, talking about it, leading up to it. Mike said it. There will be leaks, and we'll be talking plenty about it. And then once the full schedule is out, we will review, guys. Again, do I think we're going to be good? I thought we were going to be good last year,
right,
and we blew it. So, you know, at some point, we've got to put it all together. It can't just be we're good for 6 or 7 weeks, Mike, and then we fall apart. We got to put a season together, man, and we got to play complimentary football. Yes, we're going to be better on defense just based on the personnel. It feels that way, but I don't know what the schedule is going to look like.
Yeah, man, I know it's kind of funny. The NFL, it's for those who remember the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin, the new phone books. Back when we had a thing called phone books, and Steve Martin's like, the new phone books are here. The new phone books are here. Because honestly, years ago, the schedule was really no big deal. Other than maybe, you know, if Falcons are going to Miami, you want to plan a trip to South Beach or something. But now it's just become such a thing. And you throw in the element of the international games, and apparently they're going to start leaking those about 48 hours before the actual total schedule launch on Wednesday.
Yeah, which is great news. All right, we'll see how that all looks. It is our 4th and 1 segment brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, is going to join us. We got a lot of dog news to talk about, a lot of college football stuff. Mm. Man, this case is still looming. What does that look like? We'll get you caught up coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we are going to talk more about the Falcons and rookie camp today that got underway up at Flowery Branch. Also, Mike was just mentioning something interesting about the Braves, who are on the road taking on the Pirates. The Pirates, by the way, if you don't keep up with stuff or maybe you haven't heard it, fired somebody, Mike. They fired their manager, and everybody's like, yeah. Now, they're not the Rockies. The Rockies are terrible. But the Pirates should be better than what they are.
Yeah, unfortunately, Derek Shelton, a lot of folks feel, I mean, I don't know what you expect them to do. There were higher expectations this year because they've got a young nucleus of stars. As you know, Carl, today's Pirates are tomorrow's Yankees or Red Sox or Dodgers for that matter. But 26 in payroll with 87.6 million. What should you really expect? Anyway, he got just telling Carl, we'll see if the players may be a little motivated. Win one for the skipper. I don't know about that, but we'll see.
All right, let's talk to Mike Griffith, Dog Nation. He joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, thanks so much, man, on a Friday. We've been talking a lot about all this stuff that's been going on in college football. I just want to start with this case that has yet been decided. And what are you hearing about ultimately where this is going to go, whether the salary cap, the limitation of players, and how this is going to affect college football? I know Kirby's talked about it, but everybody's just kind of waiting right now in limbo to see what this decision is going to be, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You were just talking about baseball and the Pirates being 26 in payroll. And, you know, yeah, we're going to put this salary cap down eventually on everybody. But we know there's going to be haves and have-nots, right? We know there's going to be the Texas and Ohio State being the equivalent of the Yankees and the Dodgers with their money. And you just kind of, where does Georgia fall? 5, 7, 9? I just kind of, the wheel's spinning a little bit. So, yeah. So what's happening right now is the judge wants these roster limits to be grandfathered in, right? So we know that part of the plan is to lower the roster limits, and that means that a lot of kids that were on partial scholarships or were walk-ons no longer have those opportunities. And the judge is like, whoa, you know, this is a lot at once. I mean, I think you're talking like 5,000 athletes in all of college athletics that suddenly, you know, don't have a spot. And so she wants this to be, well, can we maybe grandfather this in? Like, maybe we'll cut it from, you know, football from 130 to 105 over 2 or 3 years or in these phases or, you know, some of these non-revenue sports. Well, the problem is when she gave the preliminary approval back last fall, everybody's like, cool, we're on board. And everybody starts moving and shaking. You know, kids that are saying, man, I may not have a spot next year. I need to go somewhere else. I need to go to another school and find another slot. Coaches saying, hey, you know, you're not going to be back on the team next year. They're making moves and staff sizes are changes and everybody's adjusting to what they think is going to be approved. And now we're going, well, actually, maybe not. Well, what do you do? Does a kid go back from one school to the other? Well, that's kind of complicated. He's already enrolled somewhere else, right?
Right.
So it's a little complex in terms of how does that go into effect and, you know, who carries that burden and do schools maybe allow for this? You know, but the flip side of this that I think a lot of people are missing, and I was covering the SEC tournament here in Athens, the softball tournament this week, is this is not considered a bad thing because you say, okay, so maybe, and I'm throwing some numbers out there, I don't have them exactly dialed in, but let's say the baseball roster goes from, I don't know, 38 to, you know, 30 or whatever. Well, now instead of having to split up 12 scholarships from 30, you're going to have 100% scholarships. So you're going to have kids that are on full scholarships. So the ones that are on the team, you know, they don't have to work part-time jobs anymore. They're on a full scholarship now. Like Georgia was talking about adding 100 scholarships as a result of this plan. And you go, well, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. So there's kind of a flip side to this that a lot of people aren't considering. But here nor there, the judges asked these attorneys to present this other approval, and that's kind of what they're throwing down is, you know, hey, you know, this, you know, but ultimately, this is something else everybody forgets. It's up to the coach who he wants on his team.
Right.
Nobody's entitled. We're in this society now. I'm entitled to this. You're not entitled to anything. They'll decide if they want you on the team, man.
Right.
Like, you don't just, like, I want to walk into a Fortune 500, I'm entitled to. You're not entitled. We got to hire you. We got to decide we want you on the team. You got to be productive. You got to have a place. So there's an element of common sense that's been lacking in this.
Right. And we know that Kirby, as we said, that balance of like, hey, you know, I mean, you got to find guys that actually do have a true passion for the game and understand they will be getting the best coaching. They will be like Nick Saban's Alabama and get to the league. One thing about this whole process, Mike Griffith, by the way, from Dog Nation here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, does this empower the NCAA? Because we were all ready to put a stake in the heart of the NCAA. Are these guys going to be back as the cops of all this crap and basically patrolling the salary cap?
No, they're not. There's the NCAA is pretty much, I mean, it's figurehead operation that runs the NCAA tournament. I mean, for the most part, the power conferences and college football playoff committees got control over college football. And the non-revenue sports are, you know, they're money losers, right? That's why they're called non-revenue.
But who polices it, though? But how do you know? How do you know, like, you know, Auburn or LSU isn't?
Why you bring up Auburn?
I'm just, why? Because it was easy, you know, or whoever, or insert school here, Florida, you know, aren't throwing a lecture in the envelope.
Yeah, no, I got you. So what they're going to do, so the $20.5 million quote-unquote cap, which is essentially 22% of the estimated revenue of these schools, this is sort of a revenue-sharing plan, the $20.5 million cap is going to be universal. The wild card in this is going to be the deals outside of the $20.5 million cap. For example, Georgia just got this commitment from Jared Curtis in Nashville, and everybody's freaking out like, oh my gosh, you know, you're going to have another high-dollar quarterback, and what's that going to do to the salary structure within the team? Well, most of Jared Curtis's money isn't going to count against the cap. It's going to be one of those outside deals based on his quote-unquote fair market value. Mm. And this is where it gets fuzzy, because what's fair market value? Georgia decided that Carson Beck was worth $4 million after the 2023 season. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee had this quarterback, Nico, gets him in the playoffs, beats two out of the three rivals, gets his helmet busted up, gets a concussion, goes through spring drills, and they say, yeah, nah, you're not really worth the money. So we're not going to pay it to you. So Nico's like, well, you know there's another portal here, guys. And Tennessee goes, yeah, we're going to cut off our nose to spite our face. We're not going to pay an extra $2 million to return a starting quarterback. And everybody says, no, wait a minute, Griff. Wait a minute. We don't think he was worth that. And he signed a deal. And he had years left on that contract. You know what? So did Rick Barnes 2 years before. He had a contract. He had a multi-million dollar buyout. And he said, you know what, Tennessee, if you don't make me the second highest paid coach in college basketball, I'm going to UCLA. And Tennessee, oh, Rick, we love you. Here's all your money, even if you haven't got us to a Final Four yet.
He doesn't. Right? He doesn't win enough. Go ahead.
And he had a buyout. He had years left on his contract. Kirby Smart's got years left on his contract, and he renegotiates. Guys, we're in a world now where the college quarterback, because there's only so many of them to go around, you're going to have to renegotiate. There's a going price now for a college football playoff quarterback. Nico was a top 10 NIL guy going into last year. And again, he got Tennessee in the playoffs. He beat two out of the three rivals. He played through a cracked helmet. You know, you guys saw that game. He got his butt kicked. Everybody's like, oh, really? It was really about the Tennessee running back. Oh, you mean the one that tapped out in the Georgia game that took himself that guy? It was really about him, huh? Not the quarterback that was getting his ass kicked every week.
Okay. It's a great point, Mike. And speaking of Jared Curtis, how excited should Dawg fans be? Look, I'm not going to tell you he's not going to be great, but, you know, we've seen this, right, where they get the five-star. They get the allegedly best quarterback in the country, and it just hadn't panned out. Kirby's not putting guys in the NFL, and that's not a knock on the program. The program is great, but this is one position that my friends and I continue to talk about where we go, okay, they've had some good guys, but they haven't had, like, incredible quarterbacks that have come through the last few years.
Man, that's a tough one. So two-part question there. So, yes, they should be excited because, look, you guys are in the business. You do this stuff every day. Perception becomes reality. And right now, Georgia has the number one quarterback in the 2026 class, and they're on the verge, it looks like, of getting this tackle. So everybody wants to be part of a good thing. You generate some momentum. You're on the upswing now. You've got this number one quarterback whose fair market value will be very high outside of that $20.5 million cap. Because of the quarterback ranking, he's going to be able to cut an outside deal that's going to pass the smell test for Deloitte, this third-party agency that's actually going to be the cops on these outside deals and what passes the sniff test and what doesn't. So, yes, it's a good thing. It's momentum. It's the program moving in the right direction. It's another five-star. But let's dial it back here. Let's be fair. If Justin Fields would have stuck around and been willing to play behind Jake Fromm in 2019, he probably could have won a national championship at Georgia in 2020. Certainly 2021 and 2022. Justin Fields could have won those titles Stetson Bennett won. Jake Fromm could have won those titles in 20 or 20.
Well, not Jake Fromm. Maybe Fields. Not Fromm. But, you know, Fromm wasn't that good.
I think a lot of quarterbacks. No. I think Carson Beck. I don't think Stetson Bennett.
Carson Beck can't beat Alabama. Come on. Stop it. Stop it now. You were on a roll. You're on a roll until you started throwing that out there now. Come on, Griff.
I think Carson – well, listen, you get Carson Beck some receivers to catch the ball. That Alabama game's a little different. Now, Colby Young, 6'4", got beat by a 5'9" corner.
Yeah, but he also throws it at the guys in the other numbers too.
We'll see how the Carson Beck story pans out. He's making a lot of money in Miami now.
He is. Wait, though, Mike. You think he's way better than what we saw last year with Georgia? Is what you're saying, Beck?
I think he's better. I think he's better than his numbers if guys catch the football for sure.
All right. Keep going though. What else? Well, because you were talking about this and from the scope of the Curtis situation. All right, keep going.
Yeah. So I think Carson Beck's an NFL quarterback, and I think if he doesn't drive, this is the really interesting part. I'm going to go off on a tangent here because I don't know if people really thought about this. If Carson Beck doesn't stick a Lamborghini on Instagram and carry a Louis Vuitton bag, and the 6'4" wide receiver beats the 5'9" freshman at Alabama for that pass, it's a different story. If you want to compare Carson Beck off the field to Stetson Bennett off the field, we can have that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to compare the talents of Carson Beck,
there's a clutch gene that Carson Beck didn't show. I mean, Stetson Bennett is just clutch. I mean, you can't quantify it. He is just more clutch.
Guys, let me tell you, Jim McMahon was clutch too. You know what else he had? The 85 Bears defense. You give me the number one defense, I'll be clutch for you.
But Stetson Bennett, after he has a turnover in the Alabama National Championship game in Indiana, they go right down the field. He makes gutsy throws. I mean, like the second championship what he did against Ohio State in that second half. I mean, let's be honest.
Fourth quarter.
I mean, come on.
Where was he in the 2021 SEC championship game when he couldn't get a first down in the second quarter? Part of the reason they beat Alabama in the national title game is they kept the Heisman Trophy guy out of the end zone for three quarters. You're playing Alabama now with the defense you got right now. Georgia's 10, 14 points behind going in the fourth quarter with the defense they got right now. I mean, you got to keep it real here. Stetson was clutch, and Stetson did make plays, but Stetson made a lot of mistakes, and he had a number one defense on the other side of the ball. Carson Beck did not have that.
Yeah, but Carson Beck turned the ball over every single time in the Texas game. They had to get back on the field, and they gave it right back to him, and he turned it right back over. So, I mean, with all due respect, Carson Beck is nothing special. And I mean, I'll bet you a steak dinner Carson Beck does jack down in Miami.
I'll bet you a steak dinner Carson Beck does more in the NFL than Stetson Bennett.
That's a different argument. We're talking about what's he doing in the college game. You're changing, you're moving the goalpost.
No, we're talking about different teams and different defenses and different supporting casts.
Yeah, but again, now you're moving on to the NFL. Carson Beck is shown jack. Stetson Bennett won two national championships. I'm surprised by a guy who covers the Dogs. You don't give him the respect. Even half a Dog Nation wouldn't give him when he was doing all this amazing stuff.
So you're telling me every guy that played on that team was the best at his position because he was a two-time national champion? I hear what you're saying. You're right. Listen, Stetson Bennett was fantastic in the fourth quarter against Ohio State. Stetson Bennett made some great plays, made some highlight plays. But if you give Stetson Bennett the defense and the receivers that Carson Beck was dealing with last year, it's a different story.
We'll never
know. Let me ask you this. Do you think Stetson Bennett could have led last year's Georgia team to a national title with that receiving core and that defense?
Well, I don't know. He certainly would have thrown it to the other guys. I mean, he wasn't going to throw it. Carson Beck the season got off track in Tuscaloosa thanks to Carson Beck and Bobo's game plan. They should have run the ball, too. There's other elements to the equation.
Guys, I hate to jump in. Mike. Hold on, Mike. 1 second. We're coming back with part two of Mike versus Mike. No, we're not. Mike Griffith, we got to run, man. We are up against the clock. Seriously, Mike Griffith, man, we love your stuff. I'm glad you're able to come on and talk about this stuff. And, brother, we're going to get you back on because you always keep it real with us, man. So thank you so much.
I just want to point out, I did not take the popular side in that argument. I just want to point that out. The bus is going to run over me. I'm very well aware of that. But I'm just talking skill set.
No, it's good
only.
Stuff. It's a good
just
discussion.
Just want to make that point.
Right. Yeah, man, no doubt. Man, have a great weekend. We'll talk soon, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mikey.
And isn't that interesting, though? Because this is what we're talking about. Like, he actually, what I get, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, he feels like Beck's better than what he showed, and he's going to be better in Miami, and then he's going to be a better NFL quarterback. If that was the case, my opinion, he'd still be at Georgia.
Right.
You don't give up on that.
They would not have let him walk,
okay?
Regardless of the injury.
And I also think Georgia probably had a come-to-Jesus conversation with him and said, it's probably best you go somewhere else.
Right.
You don't let that go if you feel that way. All right, great stuff from Mike Griffin. We're coming back. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Happy Friday, everybody. Yeah, and I got to say this, too, coming off of Mike Griffith's interview from Dog Nation. What you do in college is what you do in college. That's all we can judge you off of. I don't care whether you go on to be a great NFL quarterback or not. Raise your hand if you had Jalen Hurts winning a Super Bowl before all the other guys that were drafted in 2020.
Right.
You didn't. So I just – what you do in college – and by the way, when he left Alabama and went to Oklahoma, everybody said, oh, I don't know what he's going to do. He was a great college quarterback. So I just feel like that argument, and we were having it, if you just joined us, Mike Griffin was talking about, and I asked him the question about Jared Curtis, who's coming in, and the position that I have, which is they're great at all these other positions, but they're not putting NFL first-round caliber quarterbacks in the NFL. Right. And then we got into this discussion where Mike and him were talking about Carson Beck and Stetson Bennett.
Now, again, I don't care. The thing is, the only thing really missing from the equation, because you already got back-to-back natties, we know that, would be that Heisman Trophy. When it had Field State, I think you could have been that guy for Georgia. But again, if you're a Georgia fan, who cares? A natty's a natty.
Yes.
You know, I mean, for instance, Jalen Milroe never lost to Georgia. He never lost to LSU. He never lost to Auburn. He might not be anything in the NFL. You don't know. You know, but again, Alabama fans, I think, you know, I'd be very curious to see how it goes this year for them. They've got to develop a new QB. They've got, obviously, they've got tremendous talent in the funnel, in the pipeline. But I mean, yeah, who cares what you do in the pros, man? It's what you do for me at my school.
So we're going to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Mike, you know, he mentioned Jacob Eason, so, which is funny because I hadn't even thought about him.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, yeah. Jakey, Mark Richt flying cross country to lock it in.
He was okay. He was okay.
There was so much hype around him, yes. But that's why I'm not saying it won't work. You're pragmatic about it. Okay, we'll see what happens. You know, to say he's the next Matthew Stafford, there's a lot of pressure right there.
Yeah.
You know, one thing to Mike Griffin's point, though, I mean, I will give him credit because Brock Bowers was an unbelievable force multiplier that made everybody that offense better. And Stetson Bennett did have the benefit of Brock Bowers. He didn't bring that up, so I'll make a point for him in the argument. But the receivers, you know, when he wasn't, you know, they weren't dropping, he was throwing to the other guys on a regular basis, Carson Bennett. But
yeah, well, he went through that stretch of, what, 5 weeks where he threw an interception or more every week.
And
that,
just killed drives.
Yeah, that was a problem. All right, guys, coming up more on the Falcons. Rookie minicamp getting underway as we talk about the Dogs. Jalen and James on the field for the Falcons. But first, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, guys, happy Friday. We made it to the weekend.
Yes, sir.
And hey, guys, by the way, if you're heading to Twin Peaks today in Buckhead, we're actually in studio. We had some technical issues, just to remind some folks. I know some guys getting off work a little early day. They want to go see you drink your first shot with us over there. That will not happen.
No, man, I thought I was going to have my moment.
And not going to happen today.
Oh, well, we'll be back.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Be back. All right, it's Friday, so I want to have some fun with this today with Yeah Man, No Man. But before the fun stuff, let's be a little bit serious here. So, was reading up CBS golf analyst Mark Immelman was discussing Tiger Woods and how he believes that, sure, Tiger's going to probably make his way back to the PGA Tour at some point, but he doesn't believe like he's going to win. Now, granted, you've had, Jack Nicholson who won it in his late 40s?
Mm-hmm.
But he just believes that, you know, just everything he's gone through, so many great younger golfers now, he thinks it's going to be tough for him to win one. But what I wondered is, do we feel like the PGA Tour actually needs Tiger Woods? Not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, but is it worth him even being out there at this point?
Well,
yeah, man, no man.
I'll say no man, and it hurts me to say it, Carl, because for the guys who are new to the show, Carl and I are huge Tiger Woods fans. Never, I always say every time we talk about Tiger, Carl never would have picked up the sport if it wasn't for Tiger Woods and making it feel like less country club, you know, snobbery and get a regular Joe out there. And I love Tiger, but he ain't got it, and he's just physically just so beat up. The thing now we need, what we need now, Day-Day, it's moved past Tiger. We need Live Golf and the PGA to come back together. We need to see the best golfers together, as we saw at the Masters, as we're going to see next week at the PGA. So I'll always light a candle for Tiger, but I just feel, Carl, expectations seem to get dashed every of the month.
Yeah, it doesn't need Tiger. It's nice to have him. He's obviously still a draw. It's funny, I was at the PGA Superstore a couple of days ago, and they've got these huge murals of the faces, right? This is before Liv, but it's Rory, it's Tiger, it's Phil, right? And you start thinking about these giants of golf. And my point is, Tiger's the face in the middle. It's everybody else around him. It's been that way for a long time. And I don't know if somebody's going to come in. Look, we've been talking about Rory, Mike, for 20 years, replacing Tiger to be the next thing. He just couldn't win the majors.
Right.
To get everybody on the same page is like, okay, he is that guy. Talented enough? Yes. Then comes Scottie Scheffler. Scheffler's winning majors. He's number one in the world. There's something about who's going to replace that pitcher in the middle, if you follow my vision
here. Right.
Because that hasn't happened. when you go places, it's still Tiger's face. He hadn't played. It's still his face, and then all these other guys around him.
And there's still guys, to the point of the question, Danny, there's still guys looking to see Phil, like when Phil won the British a few years ago. It's like, there's still the old school guys that are, because they just have more charisma. They just have more charisma and just they're more juice to watch than some of these guys. Now, Scottie Scheffler's kind of become a guy that people root for. I like Big John Rahm, but ever since he's going to live, he falls apart on the majors he gets to participate in.
Good deal, man. Appreciate that, guys. And it's one of those things where I feel like Tiger's in that Michael Jordan-ish conversation now where, you know, you love Michael Jordan, but you didn't necessarily need to see him come back suit up for the Wizards.
The what? No, that never happened. Now, whenever Carl, I'm sorry, Day-Day's new to the show producing this. Whenever Carl and I talk about that, no. The Wizards thing never, ever happened.
Let Jordan fans tell you that didn't exist.
Let us never speak of his time in the white jersey.
But I thought it was a good point because, again, if he's not going to win, do we really want to, does he need to be out there if we don't think he can win?
Well, he'll tell you he thinks if once he gets back to competing that he can because, again, 19, before the car accident, the latest one, was remarkable.
Right.
But I'm with Mike now. The body is just so tore up.
They
man.
Nearly had to remove a piece of his leg.
Yeah.
I mean, Carl was looking at amputation after that. It was a Pacific Palisades, the Genesis. The Genesis Open. Yeah.
But I do think he's still too young to be an ambassador to start the Masters.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
right.
that.
Yes.
He's not at
he's
that
not
point.
There yet.
No.
Right.
And that's unfair to kind of put him there. But we'll see.
All right, good deal. All right, moving on now. Let's get to the fun stuff. So went to the barber shop today. Had a great conversation, couple conversations with my barber. But one of them was dealing with some meat, barbecuing, right? I know you guys are big when it comes down to grilling some food. And something I've never done before, I've had it, but I've never done it.
I'm the meat man.
Yeah, I've done it myself. Wanted to ask you guys. So he was telling me how when he likes to cook his ribs, he likes to cook them off the fire.
Okay.
He likes to put them all, put the coals over and to the little side.
Yeah,
right. Slow.
And he likes to slow roll those things. So I wanted to know, because this weekend or tomorrow, I'm going to throw some steaks on the grill. That's how the conversation came up for my wife, kind of a pre-Mother's Day steak and freaks.
Oh,
I'm going to try my hand at steak and freaks.
You're so nice.
Look at
you, man.
Sweet. Listen, man, I still like to get a little action. You know
I hear you.
I
am with you on that.
You got the vasectomy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Back to you, Carl. How you doing? Your meat, man.
Would you stop it?
No, he's got an entire infield, Day-Day. He's got an entire softball team over there.
Hey, man, you know what? Sometimes it goes down like
it
that.
Listen, man, blame COVID for that fifth kid.
Right. Listen,
all right, so my question is, when he brought that up, because when I cook my ribs, I always cook them on the fire. Are you a fire to your ribs or a fire off your ribs? Yeah, man, no man.
So I like to do both, but I cook them indirect. Then I char them. Right? But I've cooked them way too many processes here. Cook them indirect, wrap them.
That's what he said he does.
Continue to cook them, right? They get moist. I then spray them, all right, depending on what you want to use. But you can use, apple cider vinegar, whatever.
Olive oil, whatever you dig. Right.
Then, as they are done, and I sear them. Yes. And so that's what I like to do, but it's kind of both processes. But I don't know if you can go wrong. Only thing my concern is, and I've done both, Mike, is when you put them on that direct fire, you still have to keep it low. It can't be like a flaming inferno.
Right. Gotcha. Now, I know the Traeger grill is pretty cool. I get Rec-Tec. They're American-made over in Augusta. And so I got the Rec-Tec. That's what I've been using since I moved out to the country. But and Becky, of course, I'm speaking for Becky because she does all the work. I just drink and watch her do this. But again, we do slow and low on the Rec-Tec. Basically the same way we do the reverse sear. Same process we use for the steaks. But to Carl's point, keep the temperature down, swaddle it. There's a way to do it. And then I use the Weber. And then I get the gas grill. I get that up to 600 or as hot as it'll go and just get that little sear. And then I'm ready to rock.
But I would tell you, too, I just did some ribs last week. Mm-hmm. I did some St. Louis ribs. I didn't do baby backs. But I literally had those ribs on two slabs for like 6 hours.
Wow.
And like 180.
Wow.
And when I unwrapped them. Day-Day, let me tell you something. You see this pin? Mm-hmm. It just, I couldn't even pick the bone up. The meat was just falling off. It was just falling off.
So I got to say, and I love the grill. That's going to have to be one of those days where I have absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah.
Kids don't have no running around, and I can just sit out there. Right, exactly. All right, last one, because we got to go. And this one, you're going to help a lot of men out there out with this one.
Yeah.
I'm at that age in my life where I'm pretty much saying, to hell with all that when it comes down to Mother's Day and flowers. I've always tried to wait to the last minute, not because I want to be last minute. I don't want her to see the flowers until Mother's Day, right?
Sure.
So usually it might be like a late night,
so
Saturday night. I'm at the point now where like the stores are packed with flowers. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to get the flowers today, put the gifts out there, and just don't open your gifts till Mother's Day. But yes, you're going to get your flowers today, because the other problem is if you wait till the super last minute, now you're kind of like picking over what's left. So yeah, man, no, man, I'm in the clear. Guys out there, we're in the clear if we decide we want to get the flowers today.
Yeah, man, I think either way, like, you just don't want to be the guy, with all due respect to our good friends at Racetrack or Quick Trip or any of those places. And sometimes, Carl, they do have a – you'd be surprised by the kind of floral arrangements you could pick up. But, I mean, you can actually – I will say this. Publix and Kroger do have
great flowers
you could get, which I've known many times with my wife. Like, speaking of a pure romantic, just like our man Day-Day here, Mr. Romantic. Mr. Lover-Lover. Smooth. No, I'll go and get – sometimes when she comes back from a road trip, and I'll have a little flower thing from, you know, roses from Publix, you know, over there. So, yeah, you can still pull that off. Get a dozen roses from Publix, man. Do that late.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
They do have good flowers. I agree with Mike on this. They're floral department. and look, they're a lot less inexpensive than some of the big advertised flowers, I'm just going to tell you.
Right.
Especially in the situations you're talking about. Like, if you have time, you want to go all out, that's one thing. But just the thought that matters, right?
Right.
And you're just saying, baby, I thought about you.
Right.
I love you. Yeah, there you go, man. And by the way, happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful moms out there. And take care of mom, man.
All right, that's your yeah, man, no, man. Happy Friday. Let's have some fun this weekend.
That's one of our slogans. We love all the mothers out there.
Okay.
All you mothers.
Wait, slow down. Slow down. Sounds a little aggressive there. Hey, man, coming up, we got to talk about what's going on with the NBA playoffs. Mike is like, look, whether you're a Knicks fan or not, and I'm not, you're kind of rooting for them a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I've told Data, I got this love-hate thing with the NBA. And the Knicks are all, they're responsible for it, Carl.
Hey, also, what did we see today with the rookies on the field? Jalen, James, and Moore. We'll let you hear from Raheem Moore. Says those guys were at Flowery Branch working out today. We're going to visit with Grant as the Braves are in Pittsburgh. Lots more in store. Stay right there.